back here with us this evening. I'll be staying down here tonight as we do this report concerning the mission trip that we just returned from in Jamaica. Before I get to what I've got prepared and the pictures that I've got prepared, I'd like to share with you what Abby had to say concerning our trip. I had her do a report of her own, and I'll share that with you at this time. She says, leaving on Friday, March 8th, and returning home on Saturday, March 16th, we spent a little over a week in Jamaica. The group consisted mostly of students and members of the university church, with a few exceptions, including Josh and I. Two of the university elders, Cliff Caskey and Joe O'Bannon, were also present, as well as Betty, Joe's wife. Trent Kennedy, the preacher at university who works mostly with the college group, was the trip coordinator. Our plane landed in Montego Bay, but we stayed the week at a hotel in Ocho Rios, Jamaica. Sunday through Thursday were the days that we spent evangelizing, and this took place in either Monique or St. Anne's Bay. We split up into two groups every day, each one going to work with the brethren in one of those towns. Among these groups, we were organized into teams of one man, one woman, and sometimes one of the Jamaican brethren or sisters. These teams changed often throughout the week. We never knew who we were actually going to be working with from day to day. From 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. and from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. we evangelized, and in the evenings we went to Monique for their gospel meeting, or crusade, as they call them there. The land itself in Jamaica is beautiful. We were almost always in view of the ocean and the beautiful hills. However, many of the commercial buildings and houses are quite run down compared to those we see here in the United States. Trash can be seen littered heavily in many areas, and many buildings are left with poles sticking out of the top so that they can be declared unfinished and the people can be exempt from paying taxes on them. During our time evangelizing, we either conducted Bible studies that had been set up previously or simply walked the streets asking individuals if they would like to study. It was interesting that in Jamaica, many were willing to sit and talk with you about the Bible for at least a few minutes or reschedule for later in the week if they did not have the time then. The island as a whole was quite receptive to the Word of God. For each individual that we studied with, we filled out a form with their contact information and any important information that would help someone else conduct a study with them later on. These forms were used to conduct follow-up studies during the week and were ultimately given to the Jamaican brethren in each town so that they could continue studying with the individuals. We had a total of 136 Bible studies throughout the week, and six baptisms. Now that 136 is actually deceiving. That 136 is actually 136 individuals that we studied with. That doesn't include just follow-up studies. But we had six baptisms during the week while we were there. One of the greatest roadblocks that we faced to having more conversions was people knowing what they needed to do, but simply feeling that they were not, as they said, ready to carry out the steps at that time. Between our prayers and the work of the local churches, we pray that many of those will go through with what they know is right. One of the most wonderful parts of the trip was worshiping and fellowshipping with our Christian brothers and sisters, both from the United States and Jamaica. The crusade each night was such an encouragement. The brethren showed so much genuine joy to worship God and see one another, as well as visitors. The worship services were full of songs and choruses sung at the top of our lungs, meaningful prayers, and a faithful lesson by another one of the university's preachers, Andy Baker. It almost seemed as if two or three additional sermons were preached during the worship hour by the Jamaica brethren, but I believe that was simply a testament to their genuine love for God. Our group specifically from the United States also got to spend a great amount of time with one another and strengthen our bonds of friendship. One of the highlights of each day, for me personally, Abby says, was the nightly meetings that we would have as a group. We would talk about our highs and lows of the day, things we had learned, and things we still needed to learn. It was wonderful to be around such wonderful men and women of God. Abby did a wonderful job of putting that together and giving us, in a nutshell, what the trip was from her point of view. As you can see here in this picture, a front porch in Jamaica. That's not actually a front porch, as we normally would study there in that particular country. Where they're at there, on the screen, it's a little bit poorer quality. But there's an overhang there. And it's really big enough for maybe three or four people. They've got nine packed on there. Three of our group and six of Jamaican men and women there studying the Bible together. We had gone to pick them up. We needed to hurry to get back in order to get ready to eat supper to be able to make it to the gospel meeting in time. And so they were having to wrap up here rather quickly. So it's interesting. I didn't get a. I think I've got a picture of it later on in our slideshow. But in that picture, they're all holding hands and saying a prayer as they depart their ways. And really, that wasn't even our group that suggested. This was the second time that this group of people had been studied with. And before our people left, they requested that Ross lead them in a prayer together. And so, it made a great impact, even though none of these particular people were baptized that week. I've got no doubt in my mind that we've got brethren there in Jamaica that will continue to study with them, and hopefully we'll have at least one conversion from that particular group. Whether or not they do obey the gospel, they know what the gospel has to say, and it made an impact on their lives, even in that short amount of time. As the title might indicate, many of our studies were held right there on the front porch of people's homes there in Jamaica. As Abby said, we would walk the streets most of the time, and most of them will have gates in order to keep unwanted people and animals out. And so you couldn't just walk up to the door and knock a door as you can many places here. So you had to find a rock about fist size or so and knock on the gate with the rock. And they would come out to the door, to the porch, and they would tell you, we're busy now, or come on up, we'll study with you. It was definitely an experience. Here are a few slides of the island itself. I hope y'all can see that better than I can. That's a picture of our group at one of the places there in Jamaica. As you can see, the backdrop of the ocean. And we're there on top of a mountain, really looking out over that of a resort area. So it's very, very beautiful scenery. The mountains there are beautiful. I'll share with you a couple more pictures. Here is a shot of a place they call the Blue Hole. On our free day at the end of the week, we went to this place to swim, all of us as a group. And it was beautiful. The water, as you can tell, is just very, very blue. The plants that were around there, the water was great. We enjoyed a great time of fellowship there, but very beautiful places there in Jamaica. Here's another shot of that particular area. You can see the waterfalls there. And you go further up the way there, up the creek, and you can see a river, the White River there. You can see even more. Here's a shot of it looks like an old boat dock there at the beach. See the waves come rolling in. Just a beautiful, beautiful place to go. Here's another shot of that place where we had the group picture. You can see there that overlook of there, the ocean. Here we are getting to Jamaica, waiting on our vans to get there to take us to Ocho Rios, the place where we stayed. We're all there, got all of our luggage off and trying to get it loaded. You can see Andy there getting ready to shut the van door as we've gotten probably about 95% of our suitcases all in one van. We're going to have to put them the rest of them in the others when they get there. You can see Abby there holding her pillow. I'm back here in the background getting ready. Long flights. So it was nice to finally be on the ground there at that time. This was part of getting ready as well. This was Sunday night, is that right? I think Sunday night we got together, and Brother Joe O'Bannon, Dreamers, Joe there. We'd get together there every night before we had our team meeting. And what you're seeing here, my name in this particular picture is Josephine, the Anglican. We're doing a mock study trying to get the students ready to go out and see what it is they might be contending with, so to speak, as they're talking with people about the Bible. And so I was representing that one of those particular studies, and they were having to go through the material and answer any questions and things that I might have. Here's another picture doing the same thing. And really what we would do is one would get the first one got the study going. As we got into the study, Trent would tell them, "All right, you're out, someone else was in." And they would pick up where the other person left off. So it really made them think on the fly. to really get their thoughts and things in order so that they would know what it was that they needed to do and how they ought to react in certain occasions. Here we are on one of the mornings before we actually go out in the community. We would get together at about 9:30 each morning, and we would have our own devotional. We'd have a couple songs. We'd have a prayer or two, and then we would have someone bring us a lesson or a thought for the morning and really try to get our minds focused for the day to go out and to spread God's Word. Once we were ready, we finally got to go out and plant the seed. Here you see Abby and T.C. Studying with the lady after worship on Sunday. Brethren there had already been hard at work. They had already had, I think that particular Sunday, they had six studies set up for us already before we were ever really ready to get started. So we got started that Sunday right after worship and got ready to go so that we could plant the seed there. The seed was definitely planted in the area of St. Anne's Bay where Abby and I spent our week teaching the Word of God. Here you see, I believe this is Reagan with his partner here teaching a man they just saw in the marketplace going toward downtown St. Anne's Bay. They found this fellow just playing the guitar, asked him for a Bible study, and he was willing to sit down right there and study the Bible with them. Here, myself and Miranda are studying the Bible with a group of three people. You can't see Lynch. Lynch is off to the left here in this particular picture. Really made a connection with this group. We studied with them. Miranda and I did Sunday afternoon. The only study we had Sunday afternoon, we studied with them for about Wednesday afternoon for about an hour and a half on Wednesday. Asked to come back on Thursday. We went back Thursday morning, and we got there right at 10, and we didn't leave there till 12:15. We were late for lunch getting back down as we were studying the Bible with them. Really made a great connection with them, and they've determined to ride us and us them. This particular study, as we were getting into the church, they had a question on Wednesday. They asked simply, why are there so many churches? You know, you say, we've studied that there's only one, so why so many? And so we went back Thursday with the intent of studying that. Why so many churches, and what does the Bible have to say on the matter? The man there to my right, he at the end of that study on Thursday, he really impressed, they refused to obey the gospel. I say refused. Maybe those aren't the right words. They had the desire to do so, but they knew that there were some things that they were going to have to give up, and so they realized that they weren't willing to do that as of yet. Hopefully, the brethren will be able to talk with them further on that, and they will change their minds. But what this man said really struck me. He said that what we studied with them over Wednesday and Thursday, the way he put it is that every person in Jamaica should hear what the study that we had done with them, to know what it is concerning the church. He said, you know, everybody in Jamaica, they want to go to church, but there are so many, no one knows which one's the right one. They're so confused concerning these things. And so definitely their hearts were pricked. They knew the truth by the end of our study, what needed to be done. It was saddening, heartbreaking really, having to leave that particular study, knowing that you knew that they knew that they were lost if something were to happen, if the world were to end, Christ returned, that they would stand on the wrong side of judgment as they stood before God. But definitely, encouraging that you're able to make that connection with someone and they actually really do understand what it is that they need to do to be saved. There's another picture here of a Bible study that we had. This again was on Sunday morning, just continuing to plant the seed. Our goal for the week was not to see how many people we could get in the water. That was not our goal. Our goal was to plant the seed. If we were able to water a little bit, then great. We wanted to study with as many people as we possibly could to show them God's Word. Really eye-opening and surprising to me, especially in the world in which we live, where nearly every household owns a Bible, to find out how many people there in Jamaica had no idea concerning God's Word. As we were all paired up at different times and with different people, one of us was always designated the silent partner. And the silent partner, one of their jobs was to find, if they needed help, finding Scripture. You know, most of the time, especially those of us that grew up in the church, we know where the books of the Bible are by the time we reach fifth or sixth grade. Here we were talking to adults, 20, 30, 40, sometimes on up in their 70s and 80s, concerning the Bible. They had no idea where to go when you would tell them or talk to them about a particular scripture. So there's definitely a need there concerning the teaching of God's Word. As I said here, this particular picture, they were getting ready to leave, and one of the ladies asked Ross there to lead them in prayer before they came and got on the van. And so you know that they definitely made an impression concerning God's Word and the teaching of it. We did have six baptisms during the week as a result of our studies. Most of those were in Monique. We had, I think, five in Monique. One there in St. Anne's Bay while we were there. This one here is, of course, in St. Anne's Bay. We were there to be able to take this particular picture. This lady was studied with on Monday. Her obeying the gospel took place on Thursday. Jackson Pierce, one of the members there at university, had planted the seed on Monday, talked with her, Cliff, and Jessica were able to go back on Thursday and continue to water that seed. And at first, when Cliff began to talk to her about baptism and what that meant, she refused. She wasn't ready. Cliff began to talk to her about the consequences of putting things off. Took her to James 4 and verse 14, John 14 and verse 15, and she immediately changed her mind when she came to the realization that she might not have tomorrow. She went right then, came to the building, was baptized for the remission of her sins. And so definitely a time there to rejoice. Before we go further concerning this planting of the seed, a lot of work went into making this possible and helping myself and Abby and those from university go down there. Abby and I have already said, but I'll say it again. If you help financially with that, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for helping us get down there and do what we were able to do in planting the seed, taking the gospel to those that maybe would never have another opportunity to hear it. For those of you, and I know everyone in this room that knew where we were going and what we were doing, prayed for us, thank you so much for your prayers. Again, from the bottom of our hearts, we can't express enough thanks for your prayers and our endeavor there. Just a wonderful opportunity to be able to take the gospel to a portion of this lost and dying world. One thing that really impressed me in our stay there was the worship. Spoke a little bit about it this morning in our Bible class. The enthusiasm of the people there, as you can see here on Sunday morning, Trent is bringing to us the sermon. I couldn't really find a picture that would do what we were able to see and participate in there in Jamaica justice. Just the enthusiasm of the people in singing praises to our God. The genuine joy that you heard in their voices and saw in their faces of being able to come together and worship as we did that week. Being able to fellowship with one another. Nearly every one of these Jamaican brothers and sisters had our names learned by Monday. It took us until the end of the week to learn two or three of them and what their names were and to be able to put those faces with names. As a matter of fact, I was out in a particular community. We're waiting to be picked up by the van, and one of the brethren there from St. Anne's Bay was going to his mother's house, who lived in that same particular community. And he saw myself and Miranda standing there waiting on the van, and he stopped his truck there in the middle of the road, came out and shook my hand and called me by name. It took me a few minutes to remember who he was. But they're that enthusiastic about having visitors, about having us there from the States to help them in evangelism. And they do that with every visitor. During the week at the gospel meetings, and even here on Sunday morning, as we had several visitors there to have a Bible study after worship, it was an amazing thing to watch the Jamaican brethren just, I don't know of a better word to use other than swarm the visitors. Every one of them, it seemed, went and either grabbed them in a hug or shook their hand to welcome them to their worship services. Genuinely excited for them to be there, and they showed it. And again, concerning the worship, during the nights of the meeting, we would get there right around 7. We would begin singing shortly thereafter, and we would sing until 8 o'clock. We would have Andy get up. He would bring the message. We'd sing an invitation song. Most of the time, around 5 or 10 till 9. We would be there till 9:30 or 9:45 as pretty much one of the visiting Jamaican brethren or the preacher there, O'Neill, one of the elders actually, would get up and he'd practically deliver another sermon and offer the invitation again. And we wouldn't sing another invitation song, but he would encourage people to come and to talk with them, ask questions if they had questions. And he said, you know, the elders themselves will be happy to sit down with them and study those things. Very, very impressed with how active the congregations there were. We were there in St. Anne's Bay. We weren't even having the crusade or the gospel meeting there. And we had 6 or 8 people every day, it seemed, that would turn out and go out in the communities with us and knock on gates and set up Bible studies and help us in that endeavor. Just a very, very active group of people. Trent has told me that when they go to St. Anne's Bay and they actually hold the gospel meeting there, that it's nothing for that number to double or even triple. Have that many brothers and sisters there to go out of the community with them and evangelize. Some of them that have to work said that they would come on their lunch break. They would take their lunch break at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon and come and help them as they finished out the day. And so, just a very active group of people, very enthusiastic in their worship. You get more of an idea here of the enthusiasm for worship. I know it just looks like we're standing there, but these people, as we're singing songs, you know, we've got, I would say our building probably has better acoustics simply because we don't have open doors and open windows to keep things cool, and so the sound stay in here better. But friends, we had probably about 150, 160 people in that building that night, and I've never heard anything louder. It would rival, honestly, at that particular time, it would rival being in the middle of one of these great football stadiums within this country and the people being at their loudest. People singing at the top of their lungs. Matter of fact, 3 nights of worship, I was sitting there in the middle. And I think it was Alyssa Hooper sitting on my right, and right here on my left was an older Jamaican woman. And she, you talk about someone singing at the top of their lungs. The first night sounded all right. She was in tune, had everything going. The second night she was a little bit off pitch. By the third night you could barely hear her. She was having to get so high to be able to be heard. Her voice was hoarse. And the reason for that is, as I said, we'd sing for at least an hour before we would hear the message preached. And every song is like that. Every one of them, at the top of their lungs, they're just so enthusiastic and joyful to be there and worship our God. Here's our last slide. Maybe a little bit better picture of our group there. This was taken, I believe, after breakfast one morning or after supper one evening. Had 21 people travel down to Jamaica. 21. With that group of 21 people, we studied with 136 individuals. think about that for a moment. That's 136 individuals that may never have otherwise heard the gospel. 136 individuals that, because of the efforts that you participated in helping send us there, now know the truth concerning God's Word. These 21 individuals fulfilled, at least in some small way that particular week, fulfilled the Great Commission and taking the gospel to all the world. I realize that out of 136, only 6 were baptized at that time. But friends, who is to say that out of that 136 there won't be many more? And out of that 6 maybe that were baptized, how many more that they may go out and talk to concerning the gospel, concerning the Word? One of the great things concerning that particular week, one of those 6 men, or one of those 6 people, I think we had 2 men that were baptized during the week. Maybe just one. But one of those men, one of those people, was a denominational preacher for 15 or 20 years. So he knows how to speak in public. He's already been trained, as it were. And now he's a Christian. Now who's to say that if we had never made that trip that he ever would have obeyed the gospel? And now he's able to go out, as we have, and teach the gospel to others. That's our report on Jamaica. Now, if you want further details or any particular questions, I'll be happy to talk to you concerning our experiences there. But friends, we had a wonderful opportunity to go to Jamaica, to take the Word of God to those that may have never heard it. As I said a moment ago concerning the Great Commission, Matthew 28 and verse 19, where Jesus tells us to go into all the world preaching the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit. And in verse 20, we are to continue to teach. And that was one of the great things concerning this particular trip. Not only did we have the opportunity to study with those that had never heard the gospel, but we had the opportunity to study with some of these that obeyed the gospel and became their Christians. And to strengthen them in the Word. To bring them closer. It's amazing. We actually had, Trent said that one of the young ladies that obeyed the gospel last year when they went, she was one of the first ones there every morning to go out with us into St. Anne's Bay and knock doors or gates, as it were, and to talk to people about the gospel. She'd only been a Christian a year. And showing that type of strength and that type of faith and zeal. You helped us. And again, from the bottom of my heart, and I know from Abby, thank you for helping us in this endeavor. Now, concerning these things, we mentioned the Great Commission. The Lord offers a great invitation in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Where He tells us there that He says, "Come ye that labor, all ye that labor, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Friends, that's the message that we preached that week in Jamaica. That if one would repent of sin, confess Christ, believing upon Him, and be baptized, immersed in water, they too could have that rest that Jesus offered. As I said, our goal was not to see how many we could get in the water throughout the week. Our goal was to plant the seed, to water if we could, but trust in God to give the increase. Just as our goal was that in Jamaica, friends, that is to be our goal here. Plant the seed, wherever we may go. Whether it be in our communities, whether it be at work, whether it be at school, we are to plant the seed. Water if we have the opportunity, but trust in God to give the increase. It may be 2 or 3 years from now when we go back or this particular group goes back, maybe they studied with one of those individuals that we studied with this year. And they're able to pick up maybe where we left off to some degree and teach them further concerning the gospel. Maybe then they obey the gospel, Lord willing, if we have the time. If they have the time. But friends, we are to be active. We are to be zealous concerning the Lord's Word. And maybe it is that we're here this evening and we haven't been as zealous as we ought to have been in the past. Friends, we can change that. We can start now concerning the great commission that the Lord gives us and taking the gospel to all the world. And friends, we need to start right here in our own backyard. Right here in San Angelo, Texas. Right next door. Whatever the case may be. Let's start taking the gospel. I don't know if it was because we were talking to strangers, because maybe it was expected of us, but somehow it felt easier. Going door to door in Jamaica and just telling a total stranger, hey, we're here in the community, we're with the St. Anne Faith Church of Christ this week, and we're just out here studying the Bible with people. Would you like to study with us? Friends, let me ask you this. When's the last time you asked someone just to sit down and study? Hey, I'm studying the Bible today. Would you be interested in studying with me? Maybe the answer is no. We got plenty of no's there in Jamaica. I remember knocking on one particular gate, a lady sitting on her porch, and I tell her what we're there doing, and would you like to study the Bible with us? And it was a very firm no. Didn't say anything else. Went back to her cross stitching or whatever it was that she was doing at the time. Had something in her hand. Didn't want to study. It's fine. But you know, we went right next door. There's another lady sitting there, and she was kind of hesitant. She said, no, I'm okay right now. And I asked, you know, are you sure it won't take just a few minutes of your time? She welcomed us up and went back for the next 2 days and studied with her two more times. Friends, you just never know. By asking a simple question, would you like to study? Just who you might be able to convert to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, are you here this evening? Having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, would you like to study more about it? Would you like, friends, to see what the Bible has to say? As we talked about this morning, give me the Bible concerning our salvation. It may be here, maybe that you're here and you already know. You've heard the gospel preached. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, but you've yet to repent, you've yet to confess Him before men, and you've yet to be baptized for the remission of your sins. As the Bible tells us, we must do. Friends, what's stopping you? You're not promised tomorrow, James 4 and verse 17. Your life is but a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. You may not draw another breath. Don't put off what can be done tonight. Repent. Confess Jesus as Lord. And be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Friend, are you here? Having done that, where are you tonight? Spiritually. Do you continue in a saved condition? Are you continuing to walk in the light as He is in the light? Friends, if you ask yourself that honestly, and your honest answer is no, don't leave this building tonight without making that right. Friend, if you have a need, whether to obey the gospel, to repent of sin, friends, if you need to study further, please see me or another capable man here. We'll be happy to sit down and study with you. Friends, if you just need the prayer of the church, we ask that you come right now while we stand and while we sing.